so much for this moment.
Enormous love to my wife, my rock, Corey Ray.
Love and thanks to my Latino community, to my husband, Ryan.
And I wouldn't be standing up here without the inspired help I received from my life's partners who are gone.
The original Mardi Gras were very political. We were still fighting big battles.
What are you going to do tonight at the party? What can we expect?
I'll just be Cher.
You don't need to do anything more than that.
That's what I'm best at.
Welcome to This Way Out, the international LGBT radio magazine. I'm Greg Gordon. Thousands demonstrate against equality in the Philippines. Oscar is still queer at 90, and Sydney's 40th Mardi Gras contrasts Australia's brutal past with a hopeful future. Those stories and more this week, now that you've discovered This Way Out.
I'm Carol Myers.
And I'm Wenzel Jones.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending March 10th, 2018. Evangelical Christians are protesting moves by lawmakers in the Philippines to protect people from discrimination based on sexual orientation and gender identity. A bill to do just that passed unanimously last year in the lower house of Congress, but opponents have used delaying tactics to prevent a vote in the Senate. Thousands of protesters demonstrated against the bill on March 7th outside the Senate chambers. The so-called Jesus is Lord movement has united under the name of the Coalition of Christians for Righteousness, Justice, and Truth to oppose any advance in LGBT rights. They fear that extending anti-bias protections to LGBT people is a slippery slope to marriage equality. Evangelicals also claim that the anti-bias bill discriminates against people who oppose LGBT equality and is therefore unconstitutional. A local queer activist told reporters that the protest was a testament that morality can never be measured through faith and belief.
The anti-equality demonstration came in the same week that the Philippines Supreme Court finally set a date to hear oral arguments in a challenge to the nation's ban on marriage equality. Openly gay attorney Jesus Falsis III has been waiting since he first filed suit in 2015 for the High Court to hear his case. He's contesting as unconstitutional provisions of the Family Code that deny civil marriage to same-gender couples. Philippine Solicitor General Florin Hilbay told local media that the petition is intrinsically flawed because Falsis has no legal standing to argue the case. This is an invitation to a debate or coffee shop conversation, he said, not a constitutional litigation. Controversial President Rodrigo Duterte has voiced support for opening civil marriage to same-gender couples. However, the Philippines has been described as the bastion of Roman Catholicism in Asia. 8 in 10 of its 100 million people identify as Catholic, so there's no question that the church will exert all its influence to block any progress on LGBT rights. A high court spokesman said that oral arguments in the marriage equality case would be heard on June 19th.
Marriage equality has divided lawmakers in other countries. Right-wing members of El Salvador's legislature are pushing an amendment to the Central American nation's constitution to define marriage as exclusively heterosexual.
Chile's newly elected right-wing president, Sebastián Piñera, has broken with his predecessor, Michelle Bachelet, a vocal marriage equality supporter. A spokeswoman said this week that the Piñera administration will not be prioritizing the bill introduced by Bachelet last year to open the institution to same-gender couples. Secretary of Government Cecilia Pérez said that it's entirely up to lawmakers to advance the bill.
An estimated 10,000 Panamanians held a demonstration on the grounds of the Supreme Court of Justice this week to oppose marriage equality in their country. Led by the Panamanian Alliance for Life and Family, a spokesman said that they will not allow the natural family to be threatened by people and institutions that favor gender ideology. But a government spokesperson said that as a signatory to the American Convention on Human Rights, Panama must abide by a recent decision of the Inter-American Court of Human Rights to open civil marriage in the region to same-gender couples.
A majority of the members of the Cayman Islands Legislative Assembly are adamantly opposed to marriage equality, according to a report this week by the Cayman's News Service. Deputy Governor Franz Manderson said the government has been monitoring how the matter is being handled in their fellow British Overseas Territory of Bermuda. The news service says that while most Cayman lawmakers don't want to be seen as supporting marriage equality or even civil unions, a number of them, speaking off the record, said that it's only a matter of time before same-gender couples are legally recognized there.
And in Bermuda, a bill revoking court-ordered marriage equality late last year is being challenged in the island nation's Supreme Court. The Domestic Partnership Act of 2017 overturned a Supreme Court marriage equality ruling in May of that year and replaced it with the less-than-equal status of domestic partners for same-gender couples. A government spokesman announced last week that the law would not take effect until June 1st, supposedly to allow already planned weddings to go forward. The Supreme Court announced a few days earlier that it would hear the lawsuit against the Domestic Partnership Act of 2017 in late May. Equality activists were outraged this week by a discussion in the House of Assembly about attracting more queer tourism dollars to the Caribbean island. Leah Scott, deputy opposition leader and shadow tourism minister, said that while she did not support marriage equality, the LGBTQ community spends money, and they spend big money. Rod Ferguson, the plaintiff in the challenge to the Domestic Partnership Act of 2017, called the discussion about attracting more queer tourists to the island pretty ballsy. The Rainbow Alliance advocacy group said in a media statement that if the government seeks to make Bermuda more hospitable for the LGBTQ community, it should start with its own citizens.
Out and generally non-controversial TV talk show host Ellen DeGeneres took to Twitter this week to call for a boycott of the island. Bermuda just banned marriage equality, she wrote. I guess I'm canceling my trip. Anybody else? Local queer activists point out, however, that LGBT people who work in Bermuda's tourism industry would also be adversely impacted by a serious economic boycott. Ferguson, the marriage equality lawsuit plaintiff, said he was opposed to a boycott, but that, unfortunately, you reap what you sow, quickly adding that, neither can I ask LGBT foreigners to visit a place that has made such a publicly hostile statement to the world on how the majority, but not all, of its population feels about them.
Elsewhere, another U.S. federal appeals court has added its voice to the debate about whether or not federal civil rights laws that ban bias based on sex protect LGBT people. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Sixth Circuit ruled on March 7th that a Michigan funeral home illegally fired a transgender woman. The employer claimed that there was a provision of 1993's Religious Freedom Restoration Act that allowed him to discriminate based on his religious beliefs. The Sixth Circuit became the first federal appeals court to reject a faith-based rationale for anti-queer discrimination. In a ruling for Amy Stevens and the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, a federal agency that brought the case, the court decided that anti-transgender discrimination is prohibited by Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964, which bans discrimination on the basis of sex, and that employing a transgender person posed no substantial burden on the employer's religious freedom. The 49-page opinion, written by Judge Karen Nelson Moore, said that discrimination against employees, either because of their failure to conform to sex stereotypes or their transgender and transitioning status, is illegal under Title VII. The appeals court sent the case back to the lower district court that had ruled in the funeral home's favor to review the case in light of the appellate court's reading of the laws. Moore also wrote that, as a matter of law, tolerating Stevens' understanding of her sex and gender identity is not tantamount to supporting it. Another federal appeals court, the New York-based Second Circuit, ruled just last week that Title VII's ban on sex discrimination also extends to sexual orientation. Other federal courts have decided that Title VII offers no anti-bias protection to LGBT people. The Alliance Defending Freedom, a conservative Christian legal group representing the funeral home, has hinted at a further appeal. They're already representing Colorado's Masterpiece Cake Shop in a religious-based anti-gay discrimination case being considered by the U.S. Supreme Court.
And finally, the Board of Aldermen of Starkville, Mississippi, voted this week to approve a special event permit for the city's first-ever LGBT Pride Parade. The action reversed the widely reported 4-3 rejection of the permit last week. The March 7th reconsideration resulted in a 3-3 tie that Mayor Lynn Spruill broke with her vote in favor. She had strongly criticized the original rejection. One alderman abstained this time. Aside from the bad publicity the story has brought to the city of about 25,000 people, home to Mississippi State University, lawmakers no doubt succumbed to the looming lawsuit filed on behalf of the student-led Starkville Pride by famed lawyer Roberta Kaplan. The Mississippi native is best known as the lead attorney in the successful U.S. Supreme Court challenge to DOMA, the Defense of Marriage Act, which had allowed states and the federal government to refuse to recognize the legal marriages of same-gender couples. That high court ruling striking down DOMA in 2013 laid the foundation for the justice's decision to open civil marriage to same-gender couples across the U.S. 2 years later. Kaplan called the March 7th reversal a victory not only for our clients and for their equal dignity under the law, but also for the core principle that in this country we do not restrict a person's ability to speak based on whether or not we agree with what they have to say. The Pride Parade is scheduled for May 24th. Kaplan says she can't wait.
And that's NewsWrap, global queer news with attitude, for the week ending March 10th, 2018. Produced by Steve Pride, written by Greg Gordon, and recorded at the studios of KPFK Los Angeles.
Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
NewsWrap from This Way Out is brought to you by you.
Help keep us on the air and in your ears at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast. For This Way Out, I'm Wenzel Jones.
And I'm Carol Myers.
Mardi Gras is one of our favourite events because people are in such a good mood. We need to respond with the type of policing that our LGBTIQ community understand and appreciate.
Four decades make for a different tune later in the program. Oscar was not too old at 90 to spring some historic queer surprises at the annual Academy Awards on March 4th. In the Best Foreign Language Film winner A Fantastic Woman, Daniela Vega plays a trans woman mourning the death of her partner. At the Oscars, Vega became the ceremony's first openly transgender presenter when she introduced the performance of one of the Best Song nominees.
Thank you so much for this moment. I want to invite you to open your heart and your feelings to feel the reality, to feel love. Can you feel it?
Remember Me from Coco was the song Vega introduced, and it went on to win Best Song. Coco producers Darla K. Anderson and Adrian Molina each acknowledged their significant others in accepting the Oscar for Best Animated Feature.
Thank you to the Academy. We're so happy. Coco is proof that art can change and connect the world, and this can only be done when we have a place for everyone and anyone who feels like an other to be heard. This is dedicated with enormous love to my gigantic interwoven family, and most especially, my wife, my rock, Corey Ray.
Love and thanks to my family, my Latino community, to my husband, Ryan, each for expanding my sense of what it means to be proud of who you are and where you're from. We hope the same thing for everyone who connected with this film.
Oh, to see without my eyes the first time that you kissed me.
Trailblazing, out and proud writer James Ivory took on a tall task with a young gay man's intergenerational sexual coming-of-age story in Call Me By Your Name, but he was rewarded with the Oscar for Best Adapted Screenplay.
My rule number one for a screenwriter who adapts a novel is first thank the author, Andre Aciman, who wrote the story about first love and who's here tonight, a story familiar to most of us, whether we're straight or gay or somewhere in between. We've all gone through first love, I hope, and come out the other side mostly intact. Though maybe not without the benefit of loving parents like the Perlmans in this film. And I wouldn't be standing up here without the inspired help I received from my life's partners, who are gone, our writer Ruth Javala, who received this award twice, and our fearless producer, Ismail Merchant. Working with them for close to 50 years at Merchant Ivory led me to this award. Thank you very much, everyone.
Best Adapted Screenplay Academy Award winner James Ivory also made history on March 4th by becoming the oldest ever Oscar winner at the age of 89.
Actor's life is gay. It's great to be a celebrity, an actor's life for me.
Every actor worth his salt strives to be honest and true in his portrayals on the stage or screen. Hello, this is Ian McKellen, and that's exactly what This Way Out does as well, right here on this station.
Couldn't ask for a brighter star than Cher to shine on your party, but the real headliner on Saturday, March 3rd, was the 40th Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras Parade, celebrating the monumental achievements LGBTQ Australians have won in the last 40 years. This Way Out's Barry McKay reports on the 2018 edition of one of the world's favorite parties with a purpose.
Special guest at the party this year, Cher, was watching the parade with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. Cher spoke to SBS Television Australia's Joel Creasy during their broadcast of the event.
Cher, welcome to Mardi Gras 2018, the 40th anniversary. Can I just say I'm freaking out a little to meet you?
Thank you.
You look absolutely fantastic. How's the night been? The crowd have just gone off for you.
It's fabulous. I actually want to just kind of... I've been here watching the parade for a little while. So it's beautiful. Everyone's having such a wonderful time. Feels so... wholesome.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do most people freak out like this when they meet you? Are they like shaking like I am right now?
It depends, sometimes.
Thank you. Oh my gosh, she's touching me.
It always makes me curious, but...
Well, you're so fabulous and you've been such a supporter of our community. What do your LGBTQI fans mean to you?
Well, you know, I've known gay people since I was 9 years old.
Yes.
And I also have seen, you know, I know about... Stonewall. I've seen firsthand what people have had to go through, and I'm so happy that finally everyone is not having to take their life in their hand to be who they are.
Yes. I love your Twitter. I also love it when you troll Donald Trump. Thank you so much for that. If you can keep that up.
Yes, I will forever and ever until he's gone.
Oh, yes. We've heard it from Cher. And Cher, of course, last year Australia got marriage equality. We would like to introduce you to one of the pioneers of the marriage equality debate, Magda Szczepanski.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Wonderful to meet you. Thank you for all that you've done for our community. I particularly wanted to ask, and everyone wants to know, what are you going to do tonight at the party? What can we expect?
Well, I'll just be Cher.
You don't need to do anything more than that.
That's what I'm best at.
If you could turn back time, what would you do?
Well, like something frivolous or something important?
Both.
Either, both.
All right, frivolous, I'd be 40. And
like
important, I would make Donald Trump still doing some sort of busy work in New York.
Have you met him?
I don't think I was introduced to him, but I saw him at a party. It wasn't like I was running up to meet him either.
How important do you think it is, actually, for people with a platform, for people with celebrity, to actually make a political stand at this time in the world's history?
The thing I think is that just because you're famous or because you've done something that gives you some notoriety, it doesn't mean that you've given up your citizenship. So I see him as maybe the most dangerous person in my country, so I can't not voice my dismay and my fear and my anger. And I mean, he's ruining my country.
And you're making ours better, though, by being here. Oh, Cher, thank you. Just made my night.
Thank you. So important. Thank you.
Cher, thank you so much. It's an honor.
Pleasure. Thank you. Love to meet you. Thank you.
Of course, today's Mardi Gras would not be possible were it not for the brave actions of those who took part in the 1978 Mardi Gras, or the 78ers. I spoke to one of the 78ers, Betty Hounslow, at the Mardi Gras press conference last week.
Well, you must remember that 78ers are people who were involved in the march on the night of the 24th of June 1978, as well as people who were involved in the demonstrations afterwards, because it didn't finish then. So I wasn't there on the night at King's Cross when the police rioted and attacked us, but I was there just after that when we went to the police station where people had been held. And I was involved in the protests that came afterwards and was arrested in one of those protests. But that night, everybody knows about in the gay community who of a certain age in Australia. It was a frightening night when the police absolutely rioted and were brutal in their attacks on people.
Looking back over the last 40 years, what changes have you seen in the Mardi Gras?
I think that the original Mardi Gras were very political. We were still fighting big battles in terms of decriminalisation of male homosexuality, in terms of the Police Summary Offences Act, which was used to pick up people for nothing and throw them in the lockhouse. There was a political edge to the Mardi Gras, which I think was lost at certain points. I think it has come back now. I think that there's been a bit of a turning of the circle. And so the Mardi Gras now is a wonderful parade, a wonderful spectacle, but it also makes some hard-hitting political points. And I think that I'm pleased that it's called this year a parade of love and protest.
And of course we've had marriage equality in the last year here in Australia, I guess, which is a big political win for the LGBT community.
It is a big political win, and it's wonderful that those who want to get married now can get married. And at the same time, we want to make sure that those who want to live a different type of lifestyle are not marginalised in our community. We don't want to get back to a situation where there were good gays and bad gays, which there was in the past, and it would be a pity now if only those in monogamous committed marriage relationships were seen as being acceptable gays and lesbians, because our community is very, very diverse, and that's our strength, and we want to keep it.
The New South Wales Police Force has radically changed its attitude towards the LGBTIQ community since 1978, and they now have over 200 gay and lesbian liaison officers in New South Wales.
So I'm Assistant Commissioner Tony Crandell. I'm the New South Wales Police Force Corporate Spokesperson for Sexuality, Gender Diversity and Intersex. This year I'm also the Commander of the Police Response to Mardi Gras 2018, and our police will be on a safety mission to make sure that people are safe and that the footprint is secure for a very successful Mardi Gras event. We acknowledge that it is the 40th year of since the start of Mardi Gras, and that the 78ers were heavily involved in that particular celebration, which was termed as a protest. But it's important to understand the history, and it's important to understand where the police have gone wrong in the past. There was an apology that I issued on behalf of the New South Wales Police Force on the 4th of March 2016, and we reiterate that position today to the 78ers. We understand that we didn't get things right, and we apologise for the pain and hurt that we caused the 78ers back then. The positive part is that police have participated in the Mardi Gras parade for the last 22 years. We've marched for the last 20 of those years, and we are in a very, very good place in terms of our relationship with the LGBTI community, as well as our partners, the AIDS Council of New South Wales, City of Sydney, all of the people that put Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras together, including the organising committee. We have a fantastic relationship with them. We value that relationship. We have a memorandum of understanding that outlines our cooperation in that respect, and it certainly paid dividends in relation to the way that we police the parade and the things that we achieve together as a team. I think that that our participation in the parade is so important. It bridges a lot of gaps. It makes sure that we never return to a position that we were in 1978. We make sure that we work with the community, that we're there for the safety of the community, and that we're not there to use tactics that are inappropriate or that cause any pain, hurt, or otherwise interfere with the comfort of people that are actually at an event to celebrate and have a good time.
And for the size of Mardi Gras, for the size of the number of people attending, they really are fairly well behaved, aren't they?
Oh, my word. Mardi Gras is one of our favourite events because people are in such a good mood. People are there to celebrate. The amount of people that say Happy Mardi Gras to me, it's an international audience. It's not just about Australia. And we're on the international stage. And the way I see our policing response is that we need to respond with the type of policing that our LGBTIQ community understand and appreciate. We need to be firmly of the view that we're on a safety mission and that every police officer is there to assist.
For This Way Out, this is Barry Mackay wishing you a happy Mardi Gras from Sydney, Australia.
The Mardi Gras parade crowds were indeed well behaved. Only 5 arrests were reported, most for alcohol-fueled disorderly conduct. Barry's report also mentioned that Cher was watching the parade with Australian Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull. But there was more going on behind the scenes. The Twitterverse exploded when Turnbull posted a selfie with Cher along with his Mardi Gras greetings. Fans were quick to fill in the foreign pop dignitary on the PM's role in forcing the marriage equality plebiscite that had allowed for so much anti-queer hate mongering. They also pointed to his stance against refugees, as well as his complicity in potential new attacks on queer rights. Cher issued an apology the following day, tweeting, "I am so sorry. Guess that's why I have few friends who are politicians." She was generally forgiven for not being up on Australian politics. Thanks for discovering This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. Program material this week came from Carol Myers and Wenzel Jones, with thanks to Steve Pride and Barry McKay. Cher performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks the Kicking Assets Fund of the Tides Foundation, the Ivana Foundation, the estate of Christopher David Trentum, our contributing affiliate stations, and you, our individual listener donors who make this program possible. Look for This Way Out Radio on Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, and Google+. Smile at Overnight Productions on Amazon. Email tworadio@aol.com. Or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For Associate Producer Lucia Chappelle and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Greg Gordon. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org and on WBSU, Brockport, New York, KZSC, Santa Cruz, California, 2MIA, Griffith, New South Wales, and more than 200 other stations around the world, including this community radio station, where our big birthday bash is coming soon, so stay tuned.